This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello! For God's
that was
sake,
good.
Halflings.
That was good. Yeah, that was great. There was no need to abort
you weren't
that part
seeing, you weren't seeing the you weren't seeing the it go into the red on my screen. It was peaking.
I just
all
laughed
that.
So hard my headphones so fell off. I can't even hear what you're saying.
The lines are off the sound waves are off the charts, Jeremy. It's really
we are
rough.
Immediately off the rails.
Oh my god!
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragons.
Full Prince vibe? Woof!
This makes them even more black!
Cake glitches and pitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
Oh, no!
On a nat 20.
No!
You think this is just a game?
That's disgusting and I love it.
We're about to get into something real big now.
Hello, Halflings! It's me! Olivia, I'll just sing it next time. It's me, Olivia Kennedy. And I am joined today by...
Jeremy Cobb. But Aiden Curry calls me Cobb Salad. Thank you, Aiden.
Has Cobb Salad not been done yet?
You would think it had, but I don't think it had. I'm going to do a control F for Cobb Salad right now on this page.
Okay. Because I was like, that. It's right there, you know? Like, how could we miss such a trick?
Only done once. Aiden got there first.
Wow. Well done, Aiden. My goodness. You know what? That's our bad. That is our bad. I mean, like, it took me until, like, the last episode of Tales of Agardo, Curse of the Spider Queen, which you should totally check out. It's all out right now. But it took me until, like, the last few episodes to be like, hey, Cobweb. Because Cobweb, Jeremy. I think you were like, Liv, we're in the middle of something? And I was like, oh, yeah, no, that's fair.
It's like a really emotional scene. Like, people are crying, and you're like, hey.
Yeah. this character death. I'm just kidding. Or am I? You have to listen to find out. And I'm like,
Liv, your character
Cobweb?
Already died. What are you doing here? Why are you in this recording session?
You were shunned and told to go home, and we're not paying for you to get home. So you just have to make your way home. That's your punishment. It's your punishment. Get out of here.
oh, my.
Yes, but yeah, no, Cobb Salad is a good one.
Yeah, I think it's very solid. Okay. Cheers to you, Aiden. And look, the fact that even if we're sitting here being like, oh, that's one of the most obvious ones, you got there first, Aiden.
No, exactly. No, it was a celebration of you, Aiden, like, to be clear.
And frankly, sort of a side eye at the rest of the community.
Yeah.
Just like, what
Including
happened?
Us,
We've had so
honestly.
Many creative ones. How did we miss this?
Yeah, so many people tripping all over themselves trying to come up with something funny. That was an at me. And then eventually I came up with Coblin, which is nothing really. and when it was right there, so good job, Aiden.
Yep.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you, Aiden. So we are here to talk about a variety of topics. With this variety show, we're gonna bounce around to a few different topics. The first of which is sort of it starts in one place and ends in another. The place where it starts is the new news that D&D and Minecraft are crossing over. Yes,
yeah.
Minecraft, the most popular game of all time, is having a D&D, a full-on D&D crossover. And actually, I just realized I did not send you any of the links to this, Liv, to this announcement.
Oh, no, I've
you
seen.
Have? Okay.
I've seen. I mean, I can see the brand, the potential there. Well, I'll preface this by saying I've never super been into Minecraft. You might be shocked by that. You might be like, Liv, those repetitive tasks and fun colors and shapes sound right up your alley, but they're not. So, and I don't know why. But yeah, no, I don't know much about Minecraft apart from like the basics. So I just, I don't know why. It seems like an odd choice to me.
Yes. So to go into a little detail, well, first of all, to respond to you, Liv, I'm in the same boat as you. I've never really been into Minecraft. And the main reason that I haven't is because there isn't much when it comes to like a narrative element. I've seen hours of Minecraft played. Basically, for anyone who is not familiar with the game Minecraft, it is essentially you're in a block world. You're a world made of blocks. Everything's made of blocks. You are a blocky person, and you run around and you dig for resources, and then you make things. And then, depending on what mode you're playing on, I think bad guys, like bad things, so like skeletons or zombies or witches or different things will come out at night and try and.
Crawlers, something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There are some people, I forget what the name is, but they explode as well. Those are the worst ones because they will destroy your creations. But Minecraft is really just a game of like it's a game of creativity and survival. That's how I would describe. I need to pause for a moment. I need to intervene. This should probably stay in the edit. There is a cat who is climbing onto a very precarious ledge trying to sniff at a bag of food. Oh. And I need to. Yona?
Oh,
Yona.
Cat, no.
Yona, please stop. Yona, stop.
Cease.
Yona. No. Well, okay. She's marking it with her face. She's marking the bag of food with her face.
Okay. I'm glad it was her face and nothing else. I'm glad that that's the case.
Yes.
She's marking it with just pure urine. She's going at it. She's
fully sprayed the bag.
She's fully pissing on the bag. Yona, you can't do that. Please don't do that.
Actually why cats headbutt. For anybody who doesn't know, cats like to headbutt people that they like, and it's because they have scent glands on their face that they're trying to get onto you, so you smell like them.
I've been claimed by so many kitty cats. Yeah. I'm very grateful for that. It's a good feeling.
But yes, to go back to the actual game, literally you go around, build resources. Find resources. So like you dig far under the earth. You can find lost caverns. You can find all these different. And you can like there's gravel, there's dirt, there's wood, there's all different kinds of stone. There's gems you can get, and then you can fashion weapons, tools, buildings. You can make glass, you can go fishing, you can make boats, you can build a whole city. I saw somebody who had created the Mines of Moria in the game. I think what makes it so popular is the possibilities for creativity are endless when it comes to constructing things. But what never really appealed to me about it is the lack of narrative. So like there isn't while you're running off and doing all of this, there isn't like a background plot that you're going through, that you can go through and be like, ooh, but actually this world I'm in has different people and different things happening and stuff like that. So that's about to change, though.
I'm gonna double check this, but somebody said that you can complete Minecraft.
Yes.
There's
one narrative element.
How?
You have to... Oh, so there are temples that you can find in Minecraft. Again, we're not sure who made them. We're not sure what the deal... They're just there. And you can explore them and find cool stuff. But I think in... I don't know all the steps, but I believe in some temples, rarely, you can find a portal. And I think there's like a series of steps you have to go through. But if you go through that portal, you can arrive at a place where you fight a giant dragon.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Spoilers for the like 10-year-old plus game.
With no plot.
But no plot at all. But there's a dragon you can fight if you want to. So if you think about that, really it's always been D&D and we should shut up.
Well, that's the thing. Like Minecraft in some ways is actually very close to the spirit of the earliest versions of D&D, where it's all about collecting loot, fighting monsters, exploring the world and building your stronghold.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I find it quite funny that it's a game about building things, and now they're like, "No, you've built it all. Time to destroy it. Destroy everything you see. Fight it all." with that being the case, I might give it a go. Like, I'm Minecraft hasn't been something that really draws me in. I think it's because I'm not the biggest builder when it comes mm-hmm. to games. Like, for example, Sims. I'm all about the gameplay of The Sims. Like, I want to see how my Sims interact. Like, what they, you know, who can, like, woohoo with who.
That's the name of the Sims show.
Full stop. No.
Who's woohooing who?
Yeah, no, who can woohoo woohoo? who can who I can get up to like the highest level of their job on their career, you know, all mm-hmm. the fun stuff like that. Chloe, however, my partner, has been playing for I think about a week straight since they realized it, The Sims 4 was free without any of the expansion packs, has just been building nonstop. Building, and it's very good at it, I will point out. I've told them that they need to show, put it on Twitter. But, yeah, it's just like, it's just funny how there are different kinds of players, how it appeals to people differently.
And I think that's actually one of the things that makes TTRPGs so appealing to a lot of people when they start, is that, and I think we've talked about it on our show, I've heard other shows talk about it, that whenever somebody is a new, Yona just trundled by, in case you heard a rumbling, she runs very loudly. Like, she just sort of, it's very much a trundling.
Is she big?
No, she is not. She's a small cat. She got a little pooch. She's got a little bit of chonklet going on in the midsection, but she's not a heavy cat at all.
Oh, okay, well, still.
But what was I saying? Oh, yes. The thing that there's a moment whenever whenever like a new player plays TTRPGs and start, like, it's the moment where they realize, wait, I can do anything. And I think Minecraft satisfies a lot of that for people.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, it is, like, I find it quite daunting, though. Like, at least with TTRPGs, you can say, I'm going to do this. And then the DM will, like, the GM will take you through that. But, like, with Minecraft and other kind of, like, building things, it's like, you have to do the thing. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
What?
And you have to, like, set out and find all of the resources. It's like, well, in order to do that, you have to find these very rare gems. And it's like, oh, well, I will spend the next several days of my life going out to try and find stuff.
And then I have to learn how to do that? Ew, I don't want that.
Don't make me learn how to play you, game. Just let me play.
Please, I don't want that. I, like, honestly, the amount of times I skip tutorials and games and just, like, expect myself to know. To my credit, most of the time, I get it. I've played enough games over my time to, like, go, okay, this is how games work, you know? I hate any kind of tutorial thing, and Minecraft seems so kind of like nebulous that I'm just like, I don't even know where to start. Oh my god! Mm-hmm. So, with that being the case, if there's like a D&D mode for Minecraft, that is just like, okay, you have a sword and a shield or whatever, and you get to fire spells and go, and then it just like taps me on my butt and sends me along, I'll be like, oh yay, okay.
Because you now have like, you have a basis for comparison, you have reference points. To expand a little bit, you can absolutely look this up, folks, go look, and I'll probably put the link in the show notes, but essentially you will start, I think, at like a table of some kind. You get to choose your character class and stats. You can go to classic D&D locations like Candlekeep and Icewind Dale.
Caer Dinabal, which is in Icewind Dale. I saw a little screen of that.
Okay. And you can be a paladin. You can be a barbarian. You can be a wizard. You can be a rogue. They have actual a custom combat system with the backstab ability they specifically mention. I saw in the photos, there's you can cast Fireball with this.
Oh, okay. Something that I wasn't sure of. I want it to be like very RPG-like in terms of like, say, think of Skyrim, when you have options and they depend on your stats that you have. I'm seeing a screen grab of like you talking to a goblin, and the goblin's like, human, stop, leave or we kill you. Or sorry, let me try that again. Human, stop, leave or we kill you. Thank you, Jeremy. But there are different options at the side, and it's like attack, insight, and then it tells you what you need to be. So I'm assuming there's like rolling, and so intimidate is 16, persuasion is 13. Mm-hmm. Like, so So yeah, no, I guess there's an element of rolling and stats as well.
Yeah, really honestly, cool. This seems like a different game. Like, with the, because I don't think current Minecraft, you could argue, has elements of roleplay in the sense that you are getting to, you can dress your character in different outfits and build different things. But I don't think there's any sort of like direct personal interaction that is non-hostile and actually involves words. Like, you can like get animals to follow you and stuff, and you can like tame animals.
Piggies.
But I don't think that you can, like, you can't have conversations with people. So that's like, that's transformative. But aside from like the implications that this has for Minecraft, which this is, the plan is for this to be, it says players can expect about 10 hours of narrative driven gameplay on their first time through the Dungeons and Dragons DLC. But aside from that, they're also bringing Minecraft monsters like the Creeper and the Enderman, etc., into D&D itself. So you will actually be able to use those monsters, I guess, in your games, presumably.
Great. Another giant spider. Thanks, Minecraft. Didn't have enough of those. Bloody hell.
Exactly what D&D
can means. I not have a moment?
But I think what is more interesting about this, aside from just the implications for the game Minecraft, because this really does feel like massively transformative for that game, is this is part of what we've been talking about and what a lot of people have been talking about in terms of the behavior of D&D as a brand and the expansion of D&D as a brand. I think for a long time, it seemed like D&D was content to just exist and just make tabletop games and then sometimes video games. It seems like in the past couple of years, I mean, this is tied in with the OGL situation. This is tied in with like a lot of the commercials and trailers for stuff that we've been seeing. Like they had that Drizzt Do'Urden trailer where it's like him and his adventuring party fighting some dragon from a year or two ago. There was also like a Drow lullaby.
But what was that, Jeremy? Please explain that. I don't think I saw.
So, for anyone who is not like a fan of, I guess, old school D&D lore or longtime D&D like lore and characters, the most popular D&D character of all time is this guy named Drizzt Do'Urden, who is a drow who wields, I think, two scimitars, and he has like a really cool like panther sidekick, and he's a ranger, and he was written by R.A. Salvatore. He's like the protagonist of R.A. Salvatore's series of books that are all about his adventures as like an outcast from the drow. He's a good guy drow, not a bad guy drow. And so he's like, apparently in the 90s you could not throw a stone without hitting a Drizzt Do'Urden XP in somebody's game, where they were like, I'm going to be a drow that has two swords and a panther. And everybody's like, stop. But that is, they've brought him back recently for a series of advertisements, including one where he has like an adventuring party, and then one where Benedict Cumberbatch reads a drow lullaby that is like, and it's like really creepy and genuinely well animated and insidious, that is being apparently spoken over Drizzt.
Huh. Okay, I'm just taking a little look at that now.
Yeah.
Just because I thought I would upset myself.
Yeah, there's a lot of spiders in it, Liv.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's
good.
The drow, unfortunately.
You know what? I've started, so I'll just continue. why is Benedict Cumberbatch's voice so cavernous?
He has the most evil sounding bouncing voice when he wants to.
He really does. Has he played a villain yet?
Has he done? He played. Spoiler alert for Star Trek Into Darkness that no one liked. He played Khan in that. He also played Smaug in the Hobbit movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty spooky. As like it's like a villain goes. Okay. Yeah. No, that's wild. Like somebody's OC has just gotten super famous. Yeah. That's wild. I like look. Everyone is out here talking about Drizzt. Nobody's talking about Iris, my character from Stormbringers. Nobody be out here talking about Juji. Where am I?
Why is nobody? You need to be a white man and then write a series of books.
I don't want to, Jeremy. You can't make me. I'll write some books. I've got book ideas, but you know, I have ADHD, so I haven't written them down. But
they're in there. Then, they're in that head, though. They're in your head.
They're yeah. in my head. Maybe they'll come out eventually. But yeah. Okay, Drisk. I'm caught yes. up on that. Thank you.
So I'll put a link to this as well. It's called Sleep Sound: The Legend of Drizzt. It's a D&D animated short. It's very cool. It is pretty sinister. Mm-hmm. It very much leans into like the dark drow lore aspects. So, you know, be forewarned, it is definitely leaning towards the dark fantasy side of things if you do watch it, but it's very cool. And there are a lot of spiders because, mm-hmm. you know, drow. But even in our conversation about the D&D movie, where we were talking about how much that movie aside, I don't know that we went too deep into this, but I think we did actually talk about it. The D&D movie, aside from being like a narrative movie, is very much a commercial for the D&D brand.
Oh, Hasbro love to make TV shows and films about the things they own and then make you buy more.
Yep. And that's what this feels like.
Look, as a My Little Pony stan. Look, all the princess castle bullshit that comes out when when the big episodes did drop, like, it was mm-hmm. wild. It was wild. It would just be like, oh, hey, enjoying this episode? How about you buy a big pink castle? Would you like to do that? And I was like, not really, but thank you so much. but yeah, Hasbro are good at that. Very, very good. I've already seen, have you seen the like action figures and stuff for the characters?
No, I haven't.
I went into game with my coworkers to grab some magic cards because nerds. And then they just had like proper little action figures of like Simon the sorcerer, and I think they had Holger, and I was just like, oh, they're going for it, really going for it. Wow.
Oh, that's really cool. I mean, it's also. It's cool, I guess, for the movie and the characters. I'm kind of two minds about it as far as the treatment of the brand, because like on the one hand, I like this much better than trying to do OGL stuff, because it felt like the OGL was an attempt to squeeze more money out of the existing fan base and other competitors.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think, we're in agreement on that.
Yeah.
But surely there are other ways to monetize the brand that don't involve exploiting other creators who are already making the game better. And this feels like a legitimate way of doing that. Like, I actually like this idea of being like, oh, let's combine our brand with a game that honestly does kind of fit with it. Like, I think Minecraft and D&D, as we said, have a lot in common.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that, I think maybe, I wonder when this was set in motion. I would be curious, you know, as to when, like, they established this kind of, like, tie-in with like, Minecraft in particular. Was it pre-OGL? Had to be.
Yeah.
No, absolutely had to be. But, like, that was, I mean, sorry, my brain was like, that was January. And
January of this year, not even January of several years ago.
This year. No, I was like, what? So that's why my brain was like, oh, maybe it was before. Mm. No. I think, you know, they're covering themselves. They've got their fingers in a lot of pies. Mm-hmm. Which is an expression I hate, but I said it anyway.
it's like a weird image. Somebody standing there just with their hands, fingers outstretched in as many pies as they can get them in.
See, I think of just like one person with their one index finger in one pie and just staring directly at you. Because I think that's a more sinister image, you know? Just like, I hate
if they're
that.
Moving the finger, then it is very sinister.
No.
Like, that's where it's like, stop.
Like, that's where it's like, what is this? 1990. I
want to say 70. American Pie.
I
think that was 1999. Let me see. I'm going to verify this, Liv, because you might be correct.
Yeah, we're going to. Oh, no, you're right. You're right. It's 99. No, of course it was 99. Everyone was getting feral about the noughties coming
The
up.
Reason I think it was 99, the reason I thought it was 99 is because they play one week at the end. And I feel like one week by the Bare Naked Ladies came out right around the end of, let me see. Yeah, it came out in 1998. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of stuff using that from the years 1999 to 2000.
Okay. Well, there you go, everyone.
Yeah.
1999.
Yeah, the Digimon movie also used 1 week.
Oh, yeah. My God. I fucking love the Digimon movie.
Yo, though, I like, can we talk for a moment, very briefly, about how Digimon as a brand, when we talk about the anime, is so much better than Pokemon.
Oh, forgot. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Like, the anime was so much more gripping. Like, I like that there's, like, an actual kind of narrative to it. I know there is for, like, Pokemon, but it's, like, basically one-offs. Yeah. Like, every episode's, like, a one-off, and it's, like, boring. I can't keep up with that. Digimon has, like cool like narrative stuff in terms of like how the Digimon evolve, and like it has like tension, it has like passion. Mm-hmm. It's great. When I say passion, I mean like argument. It's not like the passions of Digimon, like kind
there
of
are romantic subplots though from time to
there
time
are,
not like super
true.
Deeply explored, but they're that there.
Yeah, no, that's true. Which is, yeah, more than you could say for Pokemon. What, a Butterfree loves another Butterfree? Wow.
Oh, you went old school, Liv. You twisted the knife. That was, whenever Ash cries, whenever it's an episode where Ash cries, it's like, oh, man.
I don't care.
Oh, man.
I don't care. Oh, I will say for, like, the first Pokemon movie, though, that just break me
Yo,
every single time.
Surprisingly like, dark. Just,
yeah, so dark, and I loved it. just like if I think too hard about the scene with the two Pikachus,
oh,
I will
they're just
die.
Slapping
so
each other and crying.
No,
they're so
chew, chew,
and they just keep slapping each other in like, the face.
And then they're yeah. like, oh,
that was legitimately yeah. very dramatic for a kid movie. For a kid's movie.
It was a yeah. lot.
Did
Absolutely.
You ever see the Pokemon, the third movie, The Spell of the Unknown?
I don't okay. think I did.
So, Liv, you're about to find out something about me that I don't think you know. And I don't think anyone really knows publicly. Up
well,
through the
know.
Year, I think 2020, I have seen every single Pokemon movie that was released. Maybe 2020, 2021.
How
I've
many
seen
are
all
there?
Of them.
Are there like 50?
No, there's at least 20, I think, at this point.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were going to go lower.
No, there's
20.
A lot.
Okay.
I and Whoa. A friend from college, shout out to Christopher Sanchez, mm-hmm. wherever you are. He does not listen to this show, but he does play D&D.
Okay. Well, then what the fuck, Christopher?
We in college decided to start watching and ranking the Pokemon movies.
Oh, very good.
And
love that.
To this day, our number one ranked Pokemon movie of all time is Pokemon 3, Spell of the Unknown.
Wow.
It is one of
okay.
the few in the franchise that okay, is actually a good movie.
Okay.
Like, it's a legitimately good film. Just watching it, it's like, oh yeah, this is good. This is a good movie.
Speaking of brand tie-ins, don't you love it when brand tie-ins actually, like, deliver? And it's like, you didn't have to go this hard, but you did. And, like, it's
yeah.
great.
Like, a very quick yeah. premise of the plot. It's basically a young girl whose dad is an archaeologist and whose mom is gone. She disappeared in an archaeology accident. No joke. Yes.
What?
Her mom was lost in an archaeology accident.
Too much dirt.
Well, they get into that. So her dad is studying these Pokemon called the Unknown, which are Generation 2. Yeah,
oh,
they
I
look
know,
like
yeah.
letters of the alphabet.
Yeah.
in this movie, he's looking at like all of these markings made out of like unknown, and then he's looking at, apparently the unknown have like some kind of special powers or something, and he accidentally summons them, and they poof him to another dimension. But somehow I forget exactly how, but they get connected with his young daughter and basically start accessing her dreams and wishes and start bringing everything she wants to life. So they bring her dad back as an Entei, which is the fire dog, like of the three legendary beasts. Entei is the fire one. Has a face kind of like a Pekingese, actually, in some ways.
Pokemon.
Yeah, Entei. E-N-T-E-I, for anyone who's trying to look up what an Entei is.
This guy.
So Entei is one of the legendary beasts from Generation 2. And the unknown reincarnate her father, whom they poofed to another dimension. They reincarnate him as an Entei, like same voice actor.
So they killed him.
Well, what you find out is he went to wherever the mom
not
went.
Not a question. They
it, like whatever did. It's. I think heaven. I think they took the mom. It's either that or like the mom had mental illness problems and actually left the family. I think it was something like that. Like yeah, because spoiler alert. Spoiler that's, alert for a movie that came out in the year 2000. She comes back at the very, very end. She just comes back as a person. She just walks up to the mansion. She just walks up and it's like, she's back!
I think all three of them should have become the legendary dogs.
The whole family?
That's my hot take. Yeah, the whole family. I think that they should have been, the kid should have been the yellow one, and the mom should have been the blue one. And then
they actually have a movie with Suicune, the blue one. That's the one after this, Pokemon Forever. Yeah, Celebi, Voice of the Forest is also what it's called. That one features, no joke, an appearance by a young Professor Oak. Like, a child Professor Oak gets shot forward in time and teams up with Ash. And they go on an adventure involving Suicune.
Yes. Of course. Of course that happens.
Anyway, Pokemon 3 the movie is actually pretty good, because the crux of the movie is Ash trying to help this girl who is getting everything she ever wanted, but none of it satisfies her and none of it's real. And what she really wants is for her family to come back. And the unknown are trying to provide this. Yeah. And she's just
well, they're the one who took the parents away. Yeah. What are they doing? Just bring back the parent.
Look, the unknown are more of a force than they are people.
Yeah, the unknown are goofing it up. They fucked up, and now they're trying to fix it, and they're not doing it right. But yes, we were talking about D&D and Minecraft.
So, coming back to D&D and Minecraft, I think...
Brand tie-ins are good.
Sometimes. This is an example of expansion that I actually think is a good idea, because this is something that is creative and cool.
Yes, as long as it's not just like corporate slop, then that's fine by me, you know? It's just like they literally were just like, what if this was this, and then like slap it together? Then that, you know, that isn't the best thing for me. But yeah. No, like the D&D film. We've already discussed that episode might be out now, probably. Good stuff. Love that. I love that they just kind of like made a really good fun thing with it. And I hope that this is going to be the same thing, the Minecraft thing.
Yes, I hope that this will be like a legitimately fun experience, just as like a video game. So I guess the moral of the story is... when trying to, like, if you have a successful brand and you're trying to expand it into other forms of media or just make more money, I think, or specifically in order to make more money, I feel like you should always try and make it creatively good. Like, you should try and service the creative aspects first and make it something that people will actually want to do.
Yeah, genuinely try to make something engaging, and also don't fuck with your creators that help you spread the word about your brand, you know, just like just a recommendation, you know.
Yep. But enough about D&D.
Hey, PSA everyone, Jeremy is super jet lagged, and This is gonna be fun.
You can hopefully brought us back in by now, Daniel. So I had said enough about D&D, but it's actually not enough about D&D. We have more things to say.
Why would you just barefaced lie to the audience, Jeremy?
I'm so sorry.
Why would you do that?
I can't believe that. I apologize from the bottom of my heart to all of you.
Yeah.
For the horrible lies that I just told. Specifically just told.
Yeah. And like also behind Jasper's back. Jasper's not here.
Well, I always lie behind his back. That's all I do. Liv and I have a separate chat that is just lies.
Hobby. Yeah, it's just spreading lies, and then it's got a picture of us giggling.
We're not even talking about Jasper. We're talking about other stuff. Random things.
It's stuff that has nothing to do with us. It's like, oh, did you hear that the council in Edinburgh?
Edinburgh High Council.
Said that they are going to Edinburgh High Council is going to ban the horses in the city limits.
Did you know that ants have formed a union? There's a colony of ants that have formed a union and are demanding better rights from the Queen.
Ooh,
yes, they're considering moving to a constitutional monarchy.
Oh, very good. It's a dictatorship as it is. That's good for them.
Yes,
good
inspired by the United Kingdom. They said, look what happened to Lizzie.
Look what happened to her. Look what happened.
If you don't want to go the same way.
Ants can speak.
Of getting old and perishing and having us all mourn you.
Yes.
And then you're replaced by a much less popular child.
The ants, yes, they said this. They said this to us. They sent us a letter.
So that's a glimpse into the...
So that's the lie chat. Yeah. What is the truth that we were going to talk about?
The actual thing.
Do we know how to truth anymore?
The actual thing was D&D Direct. Specifically, we got more information about the VTT.
Yeah. Yes. Virtual tabletop. It looks good.
I have not seen anything about it yet.
End of comment.
So I am shooting from the hip on this. Liv, can you please tell me what these announcements were about the new VTT?
Well. It showed the announcements today from D&D Direct.
Liv, I'm jet lagged. What is
speeches,
yours?
Jeremy. This is who I am.
We finally found the true
Liv. I am. This is why I lie. I did turn to Jasper while we were on our way back from getting some food before we headed back from London recently. Jasper was like, "Oh, I'm gonna come get my bags from your car," and I was like, "Oh no, those are mine now. I love to thieve. Those are mine. I thieved them from you." And he looked at me for such a long time.
And then you drove away.
It's like, what? Yeah, and then I left. You didn't get your stuff back. No, I kid.
In Jamaica, they say teef. You teef him. You teefed him.
You teefed him. Oh, my God.
At least my mom in the past, who was born in Jamaica, has said, I'm going to teef you.
Oh, I love.
So sorry to any actual current Jamaican citizens. My mom is not a Jamaican citizen anymore. Mm-hmm. She's a British citizen. So I don't know if Jamaica of the 19th.
She forgot all the words.
Is the same as Jamaica today in terms of the use of the word teef.
Okay. Well, yeah, you let us know, everyone. Everyone know. So the other features that the app was showed off, the other features that were showed off, were character miniatures being moved around, dice being rolled in 3D.
Oh, yes.
And flamey fireballs being cast. I know. There were also monsters and fire tokens being spawned.
Fire tokens? The building got set on fire and there were fire tokens appearing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they were fire tokens, that was basically saying, this area is fire, don't go into it. There were, also automated rolls to, see if something hit. So, the classic, the classic stuff. I think, they have included like, you know, features to add advantage and disadvantage. You can see people's HP over their heads really easily and see, like, their names, so you can keep track of everyone really well.
The initiative order, I see in one of these photos, it looks like there's an initiative order at the top, maybe.
It looks, honestly, it looks like higher quality than other, you know, other things that I've seen, other, like, virtual tabletops that I've seen. Like, it makes me wonder how much you have to put into putting stuff together if you're a DM, or if, like, they'll have, like, here is a tavern that we've generated for you. Feel free to add or take away.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
I mean, looking at this, so they specifically addressing that, they said content created by the D&D community will be, I'm reading from the an article on this website, Dicebreaker. I'm not sure if you're familiar or live. Content created by the D&D community will be,
doesn't ring a bell, quote, but you should.
Yes, you should.
Check it out.
Content created by the D&D community will be, quote, a big part, end quote, of the D&D virtual tabletop, according to Stutzman, adding that a marketplace offering third-party creations will be, quote, core to the final experience. D&D is the first mod community, end quote, Stutzman said, adding that Wizards of the Coast wants to provide its official content, such as environments, as building blocks that people can break apart and use to make their own content.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Halflings, I would like to thank our sponsor for today, Factor. With the busy season fast approaching, you might be on the lookout for some wholesome, convenient meals for a jam-packed days. I know that I do. One of my favorite things about having a ready-to-eat meal kit is the fact that I get a nice variety to my diet. It is so easy when you're busy and you're trying to look for nutritious food to eat to just eat the same things over and over again. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Factor is here to help you. Skip the next trip to the grocery store, all the chopping and prepping and cleaning too, whilst getting all the flavor, nutrition, and quality that you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. All you have to do is heat and enjoy and get back to crushing your day. You can choose from over 34 flavor-packed meals per week, and the Calorie Smart meals come in at less than 550 calories per serving. And if you need a little extra boost in the day, there is an assortment of 45-plus add-ons that you can snack on, including breakfast items, including apple cinnamon pancakes, or as we like to call it, second breakfast. And just in case you need any more convincing, Factor offsets 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for all of their production sites and offices. Head over to factormeals.com/halflings50 and use the code halflings50 to get 50% off. That's the code halflings50 at factormeals.com/halflings50 to get 50% off. You are so welcome. Enjoy your tasty, nutritious meals. For half price. Go now. What are you doing? Go. Run. Go get the meals. Go.
Thank you to Angie for sponsoring this HeadGum podcast. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well.
Indeed. So if you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need.
Yeah, doing stuff yourself seems fun, but then you actually get to, you know, solving a problem and you realize that you can create 10 more problems, and then you probably should have just paid a professional to deal with it right off the bat.
You can easily injure and or maim yourself as well.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. No. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. You just get the app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. It's very convenient.
It sure is, folks, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that.
So download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com. Thank you, Angie.
Angie.com.
Thank you. Cool. Okay, so that is basically like the people, as we said earlier, who are builders and who are good at it will be able to share it with the normies like myself. That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's really exciting. Like, actually, Jeremy, I didn't ask, are you more of a builder or more of a player?
Kind of a mix, I would say, because I will engage with the main plot, but a lot of times I will be like, okay, that's the main plot, I'm gonna go see what's over here now, bye. Even as a player I haven't gotten to play in that many long running campaigns, but I almost always end up with at least one side hustle that is usually more interesting to me than the actual plot. And it's not like that's not an insult to the plot. I just become like, this is my thing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm doing that other stuff so that I can go back and do this. I became a businessman in Jasper's old series. He used to run and we may start it again. But my character was originally just looking for his hat, and then he became like a business mogul with like an empire by the end. I had clothes, high-end suits. I had sneakers. I had hats that I was producing. I invented the business suit in that game. I also had an army of street urchins that I was training to be my own personal, peacekeeping army. So they would go out and address like the crime in a lot of these places and crime syndicates and try and take them down. While also advertising for my products. And I also had gotten into the hotel business. I think I'd bought a hotel.
Wow. I'm wondering how Jasper went about this. Just like, oh, so you want to go and talk to a real estate agent and have a look at some hotels.
Yeah. Okay. There was a hotel that I wanted to buy, because when I brought in all of the urchins, I realized I don't have a place to house them. So I had enough money to go and buy a hotel. And then I was like, wait a minute, this is a great deal, because what if these kids don't want to go out and fight crime? I can hire some of them to work at the hotel.
That's true.
Yeah.
Honest living.
Like they can get paid. And I'm going to pay them a lot. Like I was paying these kids a lot of money.
Nice.
So I was like, the hope is that they start here and then maybe they can expand and go off and do their own stuff down the line. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very good. Very good of your
And that had nothing to do with the main plot. None of that had anything to do with the main plot.
I'm glad that you were allowed to do it.
Yeah, thank you, Jasper, for allowing me. Jasper recently actually calculated how much money my character would have made in the years since we last played that campaign, and it was in the tens of thousands of gold pieces. I think it was something like 50,000 gold pieces or something. Yeah.
Okay. No, not bad at all.
Pure profits.
Also, this is a quick, that cash on a dollar. You've seen Broad City,
I've seen
right?
clips and like an episode or two.
Okay. There's this bit, whenever somebody mentions a business suit or any kind of suit, my mind immediately goes to this moment in one episode where Ilana hired a bunch of interns to basically do her mm-hmm. job for her, so that she could just like relax and do whatever. And then they were getting the experience. And then she was like at like a lunch with Abby, her friend. And she was like saying, like, I'm a businesswoman now. I've got this beautiful white power suit. It's great. I'm really excited. Like, blah, blah, blah. And then later on, she realizes that all the interns she's hired are minorities. Oh. And then she looks down at herself and she's like, this is my white power
suit. Oh, no!
No!
That is very funny.
And it's very good. It's very, very good. Well, you should watch Broad City if you haven't, people. Whoever. It's very, very good.
Is Ilana Glazer white? But, I thought she wasn't, but she might be.
She is Jewish, I believe. But like, so that, but white and Jewish, I believe. Yeah. And I'm not sure. I will double check that because I would like to get somebody's ethnicity correct. If I can. You're going to give me that information. Nationality American.
Does it say what ethnicity her parents were? Or are, I guess. They could very well still be alive. She is not an old person.
I hope they are. Yeah, I hope so. No, I can't find that, but she was roommates with Rachel Bloom after college. That's fun, isn't it?
That makes sense. Yeah. I could see them getting along.
Yeah, me too. I could definitely see that. I'm going to continue looking for Ilana Glazer's details. And we could keep talking about D&D. Oh, wait! she grew up in a Reform Jewish family in St. James, New York. And is of Ashkenazi Jewish descent.
So Ashkenazi are, I think, they're part of the Ashkenazi Jews are part of the Jewish diaspora. Mm. They were dispersed from their origins. This is a quote from Wikipedia in the Levant by the Holy Roman Empire around the end of the first millennium CE. So for the last 1,000 years. So I guess European likely.
I guess.
Okay, so she's white.
Yeah.
Yes. Fun times. That was go watch Broad City.
So that's look. Watch Broad City. Check out Ilana Glazer.
And watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Speaking of Rachel Bloom.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I've spoken about this a little bit, haven't we? Crazy Ex-Girlfriend slaps so hard. It's so good. And like, if we could get Rachel Bloom on here, that would be really cool. Oh, Ilana, both. Let's get both of them on. They were roommates. It'd be fine.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine?
And we can talk. Like, it'll be so cool. We could talk to Rachel Bloom about making music.
We could play games with her.
Whatever.
We could get them on for like, I feel like they would excel at number one, Paradox Perfect, and also like a Grant Howitt like mini RPG.
Yeah.
Honey
Heist?
Very get them in here for a Honey Heist? Yeah.
Honey Heist? Yes. They would smash.
That would be amazing.
sorry, yes. Virtual table.
So, it's pre-alpha still.
Pre-alpha. It's coming out. You'll be able to play this year, it says in this article from Dicebreaker.com. Who seem pretty good. I don't know them. Just but kidding. As a disclaimer,
why are they breaking the dice? Why are they breaking the dice? That's what I want to know.
It's to make sure everyone gets along. It's to listen. You've never heard
the
of that phrase?
Way no? To solve problems to break everyone's dice.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch out.
With a hammer.
And then it's gone. Yeah, it's a fun little party game. Something that intrigues me here as well is that it's going to be supported for online play across PC, mobile devices, and games consoles. So, like, that's pretty interesting. Like, I guess, like, the GM, I assume, will need to be on some kind of, like, PC. Perhaps to get like proper mobility, like with moving things around and stuff. But you know, if you're a player, you can just play on your phone, play on your PS, whatever,
your tablet.
Yeah,
The idea of being able to play on like PS5, play D&D on a PS5, that is wild.
like, as long as you're on a voice call with them, like moving around, moving the stuff around, blah, 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 attacking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds this good. Honestly sounds in some ways like the platonic ideal of a game like this, where like if you don't want to do theater of the mind and you are and you do have to play remotely, you can like even the features that they're listing, these are planned features, so who knows whether they all show up, but they have they're saying you can change lighting, the time of day, the weather, so you could add rain or falling fire embers.
That's fun.
And apparently there's going to be some kind of homebrew options here. It says the player, the app will allow players to experience the Dungeons & Dragons rules as it's written, but also with the flexibility for DMs to go beyond the rules and play as they want to.
That's really cool. Yeah, like looking at it, like if you haven't seen it, it's got similar kind of visuals to Baldur's Gate 3, if you have played or seen any of that.
Go watch Liv play it on her YouTube channel.
The I did that?
I think it was like one of the first things I ever saw that you had done. That you had done you played through like one of the early like alpha versions of Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, I definitely did that on Twitch. Yeah, Olivia Does Dark Magic on Twitch. I'll probably get back to that.
Yeah.
God. I have so many high hopes for myself. But yeah, so the idea that you can like adapt like such a powerful tool, seemingly. To like, you know, work with your own rules as well. That's pretty impressive. I've got high hopes for this.
Like, as much as I'm like, I'm not a huge fan of like the company, the way that things are being handled by D&D as a company. This hopefully down the line can serve as a model in terms of like the virtual tabletop aspects. Assuming that all of this comes to fruition and does not turn out to be some horrible exploitative thing that harms people.
Guess what? It's us again. Interruption. Alarm. Alert. Because, oh boy, wizards have done it again. we were going to continue on praising the VTT and giving our opinions on what we've seen so far. But then something happened that we felt it might be prudent to chat about, Jeremy.
Yes.
Yes. So during the Creator Summit that was held a couple of weeks ago now, I think.
As of this recording, I think it was held. Mm-hmm. Was it held last week? It was held last week, wasn't it?
Was it held last? Oh my god!
I think
it's been a lot for us.
Yeah.
We've been at Jasper's wedding. It's very confusing.
Whoa! Yeah, I think it was held a week before. Whoa! Wow.
Okay, time has flown. But even more astounding than that is the fact that you know what? Let's just dive straight into it. Wizards didn't have much of an idea about what the VTT was kind of going to be about. Like, they didn't have there were so many questions about the VTT naturally, but they didn't have many answers, Jeremy. So
it's we're gonna do an episode in which we actually talk to someone who was at the event so we can get more of the deets, but in general I think it's fair to say that Wizards was unprepared for what the attendees were expecting, and even beyond that, they appear to have been unprepared to actually answer a lot of questions about the VTT itself.
Yeah, which is like, I don't understand, because surely they were avoiding any like hard-hitting, uncomfortable questions. You know, that kind of thing wasn't even mentioned until, well, we'll get onto that next week. But you would think in order to cover for that, they would have a lot of information about the VTT, you would think.
Yeah, because that seems to have been, it seems like they were trying to treat it like an expo, basically. Mm. But from the indications that I've seen, I mean, first of all, treating it like an expo in and of its, like, as a strategy seems to have been pretty wrong-headed. And again, we'll get into that on another episode. But every indication I've seen is like they were unable to say how much or roughly how much the thing would cost. It appears that they weren't able to answer whether it was going to be. Let me see if I can find. I'm looking currently at Daniel Kwan's summary of the events. Let me see.
Yes.
Here.
Full disclosure, I guess. I was in the first half. It was an 8-hour session. The creator
Creator Summit. I was in the first 4 hours and then I dipped because it was quite late in the UK at that point. So I had to go. Mm. Everything kind of kicked off after that, naturally.
Yeah.
But Jeremy and Jasper were not there. So we're referring to eyewitness accounts right now.
Yeah, all of us were invited, but only Liv was able to attend. I had an RP Geeks thing, and I can't remember what Jasper was doing, but I think all three of us were otherwise engaged.
Probably prepping for the wedding.
Yeah. Yes. So, yes, okay. They were saying that, let me see if I can find the section on the VTT here. There was basically the impression I'm getting is that they had not thought of accessibility features for D&D Beyond, or I guess by proxy, the VTT. According to Daniel, it says the conversation seemed to favor ease of play surrounding character creation over ease of use. An example, features like dark mode, sensitivity, like the contrast is sometimes better for people of dark mode. There's other examples of things that can be very helpful. Let me see, to make these things more accessible for different people. Mm-hmm. So I know that they had mentioned they weren't sure what the pricing was going to be, which obviously, you can't know exactly what it's going to be, but it sounds like they were not able to give any real indication as to how much it was going to cost. Apparently, it's not even going to be available in browsers, it's something that is app only as of right now, so you can download it.
I assume download from like Steam or something.
Yeah, or maybe D&D Beyond, I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Another thing I think that had come up was they want you to be able to play it on any device that you have. But I remember somebody saying like, hey, what about like people who want to stream ourselves, like use this for streaming? How hungry is this going to be data wise? Like, how is this going to be workable? And apparently they were like, what?
Yeah, no, I think that did come up in my session. There was a lot of like, that's not something we've looked into. We haven't got an answer for you just yet. Just kind of like obfuscating, which has become a running trend, unfortunately. no shade to the people who I was in a room with. Because they did the best with what they had, I imagine. But it was all very like, it was like, yeah, it was marketed as like office hours, like all of us were like split up into different rooms and allowed to, well, that the thing was that they weren't sure what they were supposed to be doing, ? It was strange because like people eventually got into the rhythm of like asking questions about the VTT and mostly the VTT, but it was kind of like, oh yeah, ask us whatever, we don't know what we're supposed to be doing really. So I imagine they got the short end of the stick and were just kind of like thrust in there like, okay, so I don't think it was on them.
It seems consistently in this situation as well as in others, that the people who are the closest to the creators and the game itself are the ones who are like, we want to make this good and we want to, they're never the bad guys or almost never the bad guys.
Oh, for sure.
It seems like they're often the most helpful, the most understanding people. And it seems like a lot of the issues are being made by the people who are running things. But there's
the people
a lack
who want to see the money, the people who are like basically it's capitalism at play, for sure, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We thought we would be remiss to try and be like, hey, good job, Wizards of the Coast, when it's like, okay. Because really, it seems like their entire handling of that entire event was poor. And obviously, the lead up to the event, I know they got some criticism for not really doing anything to defend people online or protect creators online who were invited to this thing and had agreed to this thing, regardless of whether or not you agree with people going. I think everyone can agree that if Wizards of the Coast is inviting people, it is their responsibility to try and make their event something that is safe to attend, even in the lead up. Like if people are getting ripped up on social media, then I think...
So people were criticizing the creators for attending the event.
Yes, exactly.
I did not see any of that, thankfully.
Yes.
But I guess it's a creators who made it known that they were going.
Yes. Yeah, it seems like people who were publicly talking about it were the ones who received criticism. Yeah, but it's regardless of like I don't want to get into the whole criticism because that could be a whole episode unto itself, to be honest. I think Wizards of the Coast, regardless of which side you're coming down on in terms of whether or not people should have been going, in my opinion, at least Wizards of the Coast should have done something, even if it's just like a tweet, a public tweet to say, hey, everyone, just to clarify, this is the event. We're making the information about the event known publicly so that people are not, because clearly the creators, at least a large percentage of them, thought that they were going to actually for an actual summit to be able to have their voices heard and discuss.
I was one of those people.
Exactly. Yeah. and I think Wizards of the Coast should have come forward and said, hey, everybody, just so you know, these are the plans for the event. This is what we were planning on doing. That would have helped not only, I guess, clarify everything for people, but would have potentially helped the creators have a better understanding of what they were getting into.
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking for, honestly, even getting into the summit itself was a mess because, like, you were able to go face to face, but people from all across the world could attend digitally. Mm-hmm. I attended digitally, and it was kind of the case of like, I assumed it was going to be like a link that you could just jump into, but you had to register, which is, I guess, fair. They're trying to protect, trying to approve who comes in. Mm-hmm. But then it was like I had to wait for ages, and it started a whole, I think, at least 10 minutes like late. And there are people in the chat that were like, I have a call soon. I don't have the time to be waiting like this, gang. Because a lot of the creators who attended are their own bosses. They're self-employed. Like, you can't be wasting their time this, you know? Like, I understand. As a content creator, technical difficulties, they happen, very much so.
Yes.
But just, you would think that a bigger corporation like Wizards would be able to handle that, but I don't know.
The impression I'm getting is that, like, even though more people were invited digitally than were invited to actually visit in person, the plans in place for the digital guests were pretty thin. That seems to have been the big problem. I'm with you. I would have expected like a link or something, or even what they did last year, where they had everybody, when they did the Spelljammer thing and everybody was on the ship and you had your little avatars and you could run around and hear stuff.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That seemed to work pretty well. Like, once you were...
Was that the summit last year? Was that what that was?
No, I think it was D&D Direct.
Something similar. Okay. Okay.
I think that's what they... Yeah.
Yes, I think it was. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But that was all, that was like weirdly secretive, but it at least functioned. Like, they don't need to create an entire ship, but something that's like a room where you can go to tables and interact with different creators, and just chat with them. That seemed to function well, at least for me. And I didn't hear that it was failing for others. So
yeah, it's a shame because like, you know, I was in the chat and loads of different creators like from across the space were in the chat. And initially people were very excited. We were all kind of like typing, trying to like, you know, make sure that everyone was like in the know, asking questions. It's like, hey, what are we going to get in soon? We're excited to, you know, talk to you and hear what you have to say and stuff. I think everyone kind of walked in there hoping for something different and did not get what they wanted.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And It kind of sucks honestly, I think what it comes down to is, again, this is a corporation. We can't be trusting the corporation. As much as it's like, yay, I like that they're monetizing it this way and maybe not that other way, it is ultimately still, we're looking at a capitalist system. Their goal here is to make money. It is not to satisfy fans. The only reason they would want to satisfy fans, at the top, of course, the people making the game often are fans and of course want to satisfy fans, but the people who own the game are in this to, the only reason they would want to satisfy fans is if that made them money.
Yeah, for sure. And to an extent, I believe that
is fairly true to say of D&D. Like, you know, I think that, you know, the creators have made the game, you know, like at this point. So for me, like you say, I think it just shows a lack of understanding of their product and their audience, like from a higher level, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I think community director.
Oh, Dixon.
Not Dixon, somebody else.
Oh. Well, I've met Dixon and Dixon's great.
Okay.
Shout out to Dixon. Just, they're a great person, really nice, mm-hmm. and apparently were awesome at this event even.
Okay.
So shout out to Dixon for consistently being mm-hmm. great.
We love that. We love to see it. I'm going to find them properly in a minute, but the community manager was like, you could tell that she was really eager to like, she said that she's been making her voice heard in the space, and she understands, like, she you could see that she is a fan and she's been like, you know, speaking up, but it seems to be kind of falling down around mm-hmm. everyone. I don't know. It's very strange.
Yeah.
I'm going to look for her now.
I'll just run through Daniel Kwan's key takeaways specifically sure. about the VTT, just to give, because we have been talking about it. So further context and further info about it that we didn't have when we originally recorded this. They're in playtesting right now, but playtesting is only open to Wizards of the Coast employees and their family, friends and family at the moment. This will be extended to influencers and then some form of closed alpha/beta. They presently do not have a process outlined for a closed alpha/beta, which I don't know a ton about game development. I would imagine that means they're still quite early in the process.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
No other RPGs are being considered for port into the D&D Beyond VTT. So that'll be similar. Apparently, that's similar to Foundry and Roll20. They're not going to be. I think Roll20, mm-hmm. obviously, and I believe Foundry will let you use other TTRPGs.
Roll20 definitely does. Yeah. For sure.
They are not doing that with this. You can apparently use other TTRPGs, but the system is not designed to work with them, so it won't like have automated features. My understanding mm-hmm. is that with this VTT, it will like you can enter in your character information and information for all the bad guys, and it will like do the rolling, calculate everything, do the damage mm-hmm. for you. That is, it sounds like it's approaching almost a video game. Like you enter in all of your D&D stuff, and then a little video game thing. It's almost mm-hmm. like entering it into a game and simulating it.
Yeah. Visually, it looks very Baldur's Gate. Like you can tell, there's like a lot of inspiration from that. I think.
Yeah, they're using the Unreal Engine 5.
Mm, okay.
So yeah, and they're gonna. They also plan to bring that to the to bring the VTT to consoles, even more of a video game type deal.
For sure.
Which again, like all of these, none of these sound like bad things to me. I get that it's like, yeah, tabletop, we would prefer to, I prefer physical dice. That's completely understandable. But I do think mm-hmm. that added element of convenience does make the game potentially more accessible to people, for example, who would struggle with math, who might struggle with some of the visual stuff, visual aspects, and maybe don't have access to like minis and maps and all that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah, me, for example, I am dreadful at like keeping track of like initiative and turns and like damage and yeah, I'm dreadful at it. So yeah, it sounds like the type of thing that would be very useful for me, especially with my ADHD brain. Mm. Also, as an aside, Latia is the community manager at Wizards. And she was lovely. You could tell that she had a real passion for everything that we were saying and was really excited to like, you know, work with us and stuff, but it seemed like she wasn't given that much of an insight into what was going on. Mm. But yes.
Well, shout out to Latia, because I don't think I've met her, but I think I've seen her and she seems like a cool person.
Yeah, she does, for sure. For sure.
They have apparently played the current build of the VTT on a phone, and it will be a standalone desktop app and will not be available on a web browser. So as of right now, they're just not even going to do that, a web browser. It is intended to be an ecosystem. You can use it for a single combat encounter or tell the entire story with it. So theoretically, I guess you could run your game through the VTT, ideally. Okay. I don't know exactly how, but I guess you could roll for different things. I'm guessing like you could do out of combat roles and perhaps create environments for players to go and explore that are not just combat focused.
I'm just thinking about it.
Go ahead.
Now, sorry for the interruption, Jeremy. I'm just thinking about it, and I'm trying to. I'm wondering if it's going to do an Overwatch. just because, like, initially Overwatch was just like you pay one amount of Watch One, you pay the amount, and then you get it. Mm-hmm. I feel like Wizards might go down like a kind of like continuous source of income,
like a subscription service.
Yes, exactly. I just can't imagine because they, you know, after all of the other money making stuff they were trying to do fell through at the start of this year, I feel like this is what they're really trying to push to make money back, if that makes sense. So I'm just wondering, like, if they're going to try and go down that route or not. Apologies for interrupting you, Jeremy. Just a thought that came to me.
I think that is an entirely reasonable thing to say. I agree. I would actually, I would almost be surprised if they didn't do a subscription service. I think a subscription service is probably honestly the best option. Because they're trying to make more money at this and it does mean that the thing better be good. But that would also,
that's the thing.
Yeah. It also starts to make it sound like the world's first MMO TTRPG. You know what I mean? Because if there are features included where, like, for example, it's not just a group going on and playing together, you can go and find groups. Say you can just advertise combats on there and people can sign up and then they come in and play. Or you could be like, hey, I'm going to run a one shot on this website. I don't know if or through this app. I have not played Overwatch, but my understanding is that, like, there's other areas, or not, maybe not Overwatch. I thought there was at least one game like that where there were other areas where you could just go and do fun stuff that was not, like, challenges. Am I correct in thinking that?
With Overwatch in particular, or just in general, or, like...
Either with Overwatch or with another similar game, like a Fortnite or something like that.
You can definitely do kind of like free play stuff, I guess, with Overwatch. Like you used to be able to for sure. But the primary use is just kind of like doing the fighting. There's just shooty shooty bang bang.
Okay. shooty shooty bang bang.
If that address is what you were asking, I have no idea. I might have just been like, yeah, they go boom. What?
We are all about things going boom here, Three Black Halflings.
For sure.
But yeah, apparently, yeah, you can do anything you want that has like dice and minis in it. It just won't have the automation that comes with the D&D rules. They're not sure if a 2D version of it will be available. It will. It's currently planned to just be 3D. They've speculated that this could take the form of a fixed camera view for phone users, as an example. Apparently, they are excited about the prospect of machinima made using the VTT. So apparently there may be the ability to hide UI, like the user interface, and other creative uses for streaming. And I think that was where the question of like, hey, how hungry is this going to be? Like how much memory and everything is this going to take? Or how much data, rather, is this going to use in order for us to be able to stream it? Because people are usually going to be running like OBS and multiple other things in order to be able to run a stream along with
OBS, probably your web browser up while you like look for stats and stuff and notes and for sure.
And apparently there was a question about the representation of marginalized groups in the VTT, its production and how the conversation can happen early. Again, I don't know exactly what that question was. I don't know if that's like the question of, hey, can I make a character who is disabled or is of like what skin color and weight options are there?
Yeah.
Can I make like a heavier character, a skinnier character? I imagine scars, etc., that sort of thing. I guess how detailed that might be.
Full customization.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you could at least it's been an issue for me when trying to buy minis and terrain. I often find that for the settings that I'm running, there's just nothing that really exists for it. So if I'm like, say I'm doing Outlaws and Obelisks, there's not a whole lot of there's, you can find some desert stuff, but it's not, you don't find like, you're not going to find North African style architecture or armor. You maybe could find some Western type stuff, but it's not going to be close. It's not going to be very close.
Like it would be wonderful to know that you wouldn't have to kind of like settle for something adjacent to what you're looking for when you actually play the VTT. Like, I think even we've had issues in the past just kind of like making sure that like, because it's North African architecture, like you were saying, is very specific, and it's not the same as like a regular kind of desert or whatever. So yeah, we've had trouble like making sure that things look right for like Wagadu and stuff like that. Well, you have, Jeremy, in particular.
Yeah
But yeah, you would hope that Wizards would cover that, but also, you know, other things have slipped through the cracks before.
Yeah, my hopes are not high, I'll be honest, based on the track record.
For sure.
But yeah, apparently there has been a lot of internal discussion so far around the character creation feature, but they're not really able to give much in terms of specifics because apparently it's still pretty early in the process. And go ahead.
I was thinking if it's anything like the Baldur's Gate character creator, although I know it's made by a different, you know, it's made by Larian. I think that's right. There's not much in terms of like size, weight, for example. There's not much, like, it's the body type is what it is. But that might change because it's still in like beta testing, I think, in alpha. One of them, beta or alpha. And yeah, if it's going to be a similar kind of engine to that, if they're just kind of like reusing stuff from that, which they might, I have no idea. Any game developers in the chat who can like let us know, reach out to us because that'd be great. But yeah, like I so far from what I've seen from like Baldur's Gate 3, there's not much customization options going for it. So hopefully it'll be different. But yeah.
Yeah.
That was just a thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, I've seen some, I think I've watched some of you playing Baldur's Gate, actually, before you were even on Three Black Halflings.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. It was good times. But it's like, yeah.
It was good. I didn't know you. It was really good times. I didn't know
it was great times.
before period.
Yes. In the before times when Liv was blissfully unaware.
No.
I agree. I think my hopes are not super high. I think it'll probably end up being cool, but I think when it comes out, we'll still be here. We'll be back.
Yeah, we're always gonna be back.
Yeah,
just I feel like every time we talk about Wizards or D&D recently, it's just negatives. And like honestly, I still enjoy the game. I really wish this wasn't happening. Genuinely. Yeah. Yeah, it's just rough. It's rough.
Again, I will say this, the way I look at it, at least from a positive standpoint, is two positives that I see. One, I'm glad that these things are being identified and called out. I think that's great. Whether or not it makes a huge difference for the game of D&D remains to be seen. But number two, I think it's awesome that other TTRPG creators are now stepping forward. Other TTRPGs are now getting more shine. I know that it has spurred us to follow through with what we've been wanting to do for a while, which was to feature more non-D&D TTRPG stuff.
Indeed. Yeah. Absolutely. Like I said before, on the podcast, I've played a range of different TTRPGs, with, you know, especially with Dicebreaker, we champion all sorts of TTRPGs even before all the stuff that like came out with Wizards, and they're fucking good, gang. They're so good. and a good example of like a virtual tabletop kind of thing that works so well and is really amazing is One More Multiverse. Like they've got like a tabletop, a virtual tabletop for like Blades in the Dark. That is so good. You make like little
pixelated characters that are like are completely customizable. Like, and yeah, and like it's such a good idea to like go with like kind of like an 8-bit style, because you have so much range with that, and like you're not trying to overcomplicate things. You can like literally put anything you can think of in the setting, and your DM can, or GM rather, can like add like little notes on things, and you can investigate things, and it's just really well done. If you want to see a VTT that's done very well, One More Multiverse is very good.
So, yeah, that sounds great. Can you say the name of it one more time?
One More Multiverse.
Okay, I'll see if we can maybe get a link to that in the show notes, so the folks can go check out.
Mm-hmm. I think there's like a playthrough of Maddie, Chase, and Matt playing using that on Dicebreaker. Mm. If you wanted to check that out, it's on there somewhere.
Right. Yep, and of course we will continue to hopefully we won't have to come back and be like ripping Wizards of the Coast over and over again, because it gets tiring.
I would love that.
Yeah,
it does. And also Jasper's never involved in these. He's just like off just having a fun time.
It's true.
On his honeymoon or whatever.
He wasn't here for the Hidozi
like,
thing.
No. It wasn't. We're always having to talk about the annoying, sad stuff, Jeremy.
We tried to have a positive episode, but
we tried. Yeah. We tried.
Oh well.
Oh God. And right now, I'm talking a lot of bullshit right now as well. I've started my ADHD medication today, and I'm like, wah! So I'm just talking a lot of shit. What a fun time, everyone.
Yeah,
it's a good time.
Oh well, I guess we'll see if there's any more of the original recording this episode left to go. We'll probably just leave the sign off in from that. But thanks for listening to our little aside, and let's all hope for a brighter future in which I don't know, something better than what is currently happening happens.
Yeah. That would be nice. And with that, over. regularly scheduled programming. Thank you.
Imagine a world, if you will, Liv, a world where whatever engine or system that they use to create this is used by other games.
I was about to say, I wonder if it could be adapted and like used to play like Pathfinder, to play other such things, because I think
Warhammer,
if that's
maybe
not something they're working towards, I think they should.
Imagine, because I know that people love painting minis and collecting minis and stuff for Warhammer. Imagine a world where that is like the click of a button. You can customize all the individual soldiers.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that would be really fun. Have you played like a war game, by the way?
Yes, never a tabletop one, but I've played Rome Total War and Medieval 2 Total War.
Fun. We should play some. They're very, very good. But like, yeah, being able to do that online would be super fun. Like, yeah, no, if that's not something that Wizards are working towards, in the spirit of like, you know, opening things up to other creators, I think that's something that they should probably try and facilitate if they can.
Like how great would that be? I feel like that's what the original OGL did for allowing D&D rules to be used for other games. Like I can't remember if we ever talked about this on the show, but one of my favorite games from way back in the day, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, uses the same system, same basic rules. It uses the OGL. It ripped a bunch of stuff from Baldur's Gate. And so that was actually where I first heard the term saving throw, was in the rules for that game. Oh, and that's Star Wars.
Fun. Well, yeah.
That's
big.
So what happens if, like, down the line, every TTRPG or so many other TTRPGs can jump in on this and be like, oh, yeah, we can use this system as a jumping off point, and you can build whole world and create your stories and whatnot. It's like a system agnostic version of this.
No, I think that would be really good. I think that, like with everything that's gone on, I think it would absolutely be a smart move on Wizards' part to maybe allow that to happen. But headline for this, promising. I mean, same with the Minecraft thing, promising, but yeah, we really hope, we're really hoping that this doesn't go downhill or doesn't look as good as it looks, you know?
Like, and I also do want to throw out a bit of love to a few other games, some of which, one of which is actually, so the VTT is in pre-alpha, but a game that is not in pre-alpha, but is actually currently in alpha 3 is Wagadu Chronicles. Ooh. The Wagadu Chronicles MMO.
Yes!
We hopefully, but we'll see by the time this comes out, we'll hopefully try, and we got to play Alpha 2. We got to stream ourselves playing the Alpha 2, Jasper and I did. Hopefully, I don't know, we'll find out, Liv, but hopefully we'll be able to stream ourselves playing the Alpha 3 at some point. Yeah.
I'm sure we will.
Because I really enjoyed the Alpha 2. Very excited about this game and want to support the Wagadu folks as much as possible in that game. So please go check it out. They also are planning to release an expanded source book for the Wagadu Chronicles setting for the TTRPG. Please go check that out whenever it gets released. You may find a few references to things that show up in Tales of Wagadu Crystal Spider Queen. Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little
interesting.
Bit. Yeah, maybe. Maybe written partly a little bit by me. Maybe a little bit, perhaps. We'll see.
Ooh, by the one and only Jeremy Cobb. Written perhaps by... Oh!
Maybe a spell. Or two. Or three.
Spell?
Yeah. Oh. Who knows?
That's pretty interesting. I think if I were you, I'd go check it out. Yeah. You know, but just...
Yeah. And also coming out, let's see, I know the Kickstarter will have been, I think, launched by the time we release this episode. I want to shout out Friday, I want to get the name correct. So come on, Friday. I'm going to Twitter. I should have had this up already. This is me in real time going to Friday's Twitter account.
Look, you can't tell that this is taking longer than you would want it to.
The Vineyard!
I have this really important...
Vineyard! What? The Vineyard RPG!
Oh my god, and you found that so quickly. That was great. Instant. Thank you so much, Jeremy.
The Kickstarter will have gone live. It is a really, really cool... Like, I don't want to spoil it. But I've talked to Friday about like the art and the premise. I've heard some of the music. This thing is, Liv, in fact, I'll send you just so you can see like a picture of it right now.
Where's the chat? Where's the chat on here? They moved
it.
I don't know.
Well, you want to WhatsApp it to me or whatever here's platform you choose? Yeah. Oh, it's down the bottom right chat.
Yes.
There it is.
Yeah. Okay. There's the link. Yep. There's the link, Liv. Yep. Click the link and look at Friday's project.
Okay, we looking. Oh damn. Oh damn.
Yeah, no, it is legitimately super cool. Like very, very,
heck,
very cool.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That is very, very cool. Yeah. No, definitely. Check out the Vineyard RPG on Kickstarter, gang.
And really cool. Who knows, maybe we'll get to get a closer look at that on the show itself. Hopefully. So very excited about that. I know that Kobold Press just recently released some stuff about Black Flag, which my understanding is that I have not gotten to look at the rules, but my understanding is that it is sort of like an adaptation of 5th edition. That is my impression, is that it is trying to be to 5th edition, I think, what the original Pathfinder was to D&D 3.5. Project Black Flag. So go check that out. I believe there's going to be a feedback portion as well. And hopefully we will also get to have a closer look at that game on the show.
Yes, absolutely. I wonder if it's worth mentioning as well, Jeremy, that the pre-order for Clockkiller is currently a thing.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. I would have been remiss to not bring this up. Connie Chong, a very good friend of the show, and generally the bomb diggity, I guess most yeah. well known for being the GM of Transplanar RPG, but also has been on our show in interviews. They were in Outlaws and Obelisks. They played Hushir, Chong Hushir. They also yeah. played Jin Zheng on Big Trouble in Little Manus. They were in, I forget the name of their mm-hmm. character, but they were in Once Upon a One Shot. Connie is awesome.
Wow. Also, GM'd the Strix Bitches Mean Girls two-shot we did. Strix Bitches, which was honestly super, super, super duper fun, and I got to experience Connie's GMing for the first time and was like, oh my god, this is everything I want to be.
Yeah, Connie is awesome.
Wild, yeah.
Yeah, and they made a game. Yeah. They made a game, everybody. It's called God Killer.
It looks cool as hell.
And it is specifically, it's made for one GM and one player. The GM will play God. The player tries to kill God. It's based on the Powered by the Apocalypse system, I believe. It's very cool. I've gotten to have a little bit of an in-depth look at the rules. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now,
exciting.
It's going to be very fun. Yeah. And stay tuned for some very, very cool announcements about possible actual play things that they might be doing. Go follow Connie and follow Transplanar and take a look.
Yes, absolutely. Sorry, I got distracted because I was like, screw it, I'm going to see if Alana Glazer wants to come and play D&D with us. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I typed in Alana Glazer contact. And then on the top result is just text me and then a number.
Do it. Liv, ask her if she wants to come on and play D&D with us.
This can't actually be her real number.
I don't know. Sam Reich put up a number that you could text him at.
What? Yeah. Is it real?
He responds to people.
That's wild.
Do it, Liv. Be like, hey, we'd love for you. We're fans of your work. We think you're awesome, and we'd love for you to come on our show.
You want to come hang? It just blows my mind that it's just a number, and I'm like, what does this mean? Yeah. Anyway, we'll see how that pans out.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, like this year, Liv tries to get Alana Glazer and Rachel Bloom onto 3+.
Liv, that would be, it wouldn't, again, it wouldn't even be a dream come true. That would be something I couldn't have imagined happening.
Yeah. Like, on the scale of things. Yeah. Like, could that happen? I don't know. Look, if you want to, actually, no, I'm not going to say that because it's going to sound like I'm asking people to go and ask them. Do not
do
that.
Please do not pester people.
No, we'll sort it out. Do not pester anyone, please, for the love of God. Yeah, but like, let us know if that would be something that you'd be interested in hearing or seeing.
Yeah,
let us know.
And I know Anthony Rapp follows me on Twitter, and he plays D&D. He's a fan of D&D. Maybe we could have, like, if we had Rachel Bloom, Anthony Rapp. I'm sure there. I know Kelly Lynn D'Angelo has met a lot of these people. Maybe we could get like an all musical, like.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Don't even with
yo,
me, Jeremy.
We need to get some like non-white people on the show for this. But
this is
well,
true.
Kelly Lynn D'Angelo is Native American. We can get a few others. They out there.
Yeah. Oh, Amber Riley. Oh my god, hang on. Amber Riley.
Yo.
This would be so good. I wouldn't be able to be in it because I can't sing, but I would like be very excited.
But you know, like you could still be in it. You could just say that your character can't sing. Your character dances.
Yeah, and then yeah. My character's a little tap dancer.
Your character is one of the background dancers.
My character's a little comedian and she's like, what's the deal with
you're playing Mike Tyson on Broadway.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's that is me. Anyway, let's stop planning on the actual podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this utter chaos. I feel like this was one of the most chaotic episodes we've done in a while.
Yeah, I would say so. And Jeremy has an excuse. I don't.
Yeah.
So
look, when you get that Cobb and Kennedy magic together, you're asking for chaos.
The classic. Classic. Yeah.
All right. On that note.
Yeah.
Liv, where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, if you want, you can find me at Does Dark Magic on Twitter, Olivia Does Dark Magic everywhere else, pretty much. You can try me on Twitch if you want. If you want to follow me on Twitch, I want to do more twitching. So we'll see how that. Yeah, you heard me.
Liv, Jeremy. Why are you twitching right now? I see you, your head.
I'm really bouncy. I have ADHD. Also, if you want to find me on and other tabletop stuff, including board games and card games and all sorts of things and TTRPGs, head on to youtube.com/dicebreaker. Also on Dicebreaker, we've literally, as of this Friday, the 31st, of March, the first four episodes of the Dicebreaker podcast, not the Dicebreaker podcast, the Storybreakers podcast, will be out, and you can listen to it on the go if you should wish. Also, the whole first season of Storybreakers is out on Dicebreaker, and honestly, it's so good, Jeremy. I know I keep mentioning it in passing, but like there are some character moments that I got to have that were like wild. Very, very good.
Give us a spoiler free description of one of your favorite scenes?
Spoiler free, sure. Okay, so but the whole premise of it is
just describe the emotions that occurred during the scene.
The emotions that occurred during the
context
scene
free
were my character Iris, tiefling, rogue, trying to be very heroic, trying to help somebody who is falling to potential death. She's not very strong. And so when she tried to help this person up, maybe there was a helping hand that was offered to her and then immediately taken away because she dared to question the hand that was being offered to her and so was left in the lurch. And yes, I can't look. If you know the scene I'm talking about, let me know. But yeah, no, it's good stuff, Jeremy. That was a bad advertisement for it, but it's good. I promise.
It's good. We promise.
Good. It's good. It's good. Also, youtube.com/3blackhalflings, where you can subscribe to the channel and fun stuff will happen. Thanks.
Yeah. Just things will happen in your life.
Yeah. I'm very sorry for this haphazard nothing that I've been spewing this entire episode, but I hope that you kind of like it a little bit.
It's very, I'll be honest, it's pretty funny. I've been laughing a lot.
Okay, good. You jet lagged, Jeremy. You're
jet lagged. We just get all these comments like the lack of professionalism on display. I come to this show for serious, hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah.
Very in-depth, deep discussions. Like deeply academic as well.
Absolutely.
Intellectually rigorous.
Yeah.
And I was appalled.
They said that they were going to talk about the Minecraft thing and they barely spoke about the Minecraft thing and they were just goofing, straight up goofing the entire time.
We straight goofing.
What about you, Jeremy?
We should release a podcast just called Straight Goofing.
Straight Goofing? We just be straight goofing, okay?
Straight goofing out here.
Just goofing about what? Goofing. I don't know. Just
goofing. Y'all, go over here goof with us.
Come goof? You want to come goof?
Get your goofers out and come goof.
Come goof on, us. You goofers.
You can find me on Twitter at JeremyCobb1. That's Cobb with 2 B's, the number one. You can follow me on Instagram at TheCobbmeister. You can follow this show on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at 3, it's number 3, Black Halflings. If you enjoy this and you want to hear more of it, because honestly, this feels almost like a kickback in some ways.
Yeah,
a little bit. You can listen to behind the scenes stuff, you can listen to kickbacks and more on our Patreon, patreon.com/TB Halflings. And go check it out. There's a lot of cool stuff on there.
We really appreciate your support. And if you, you know, support us, maybe we can make good content in the future. So
all right, we're ending it there. So long, Charlie Hook.
So long, Charlie. Thank you.
That was a hit.